brought to you by Penguin.
Fierce appetites, loving, losing, and living to excess in my present and in the writings of the past. Written and read by Elizabeth Boyle. For Nora, here at last are the thoughts of my mind. January. Grief. The last words my father said to me were Happy New Year. By the evening of New Year's Day, he was back in hospital, drowning in his own fluids. The doctors recommended ceasing all treatment, and he was moved into a side room to begin dying. His only surviving brother came to say goodbye, baffled by the injustice of the situation, that he, the eldest child, should be the last one standing, his four younger siblings all gone before him. An Indian priest came to administer the last rites. My youngest brother by the same father, unbaptized, the son of my Scottish Protestant stepmother, stood silently, uncomprehending, while I mouthed the responses to the Catholic sacrament, with no belief other than that this is what our father would have wanted. We went home to sleep. My stepmother took the night shift, whispering memories to her unresponsive husband, playing songs to him on her phone. Around 6 a.m. we got the call. The time was near. My brother and I got into the car, and he drove the journey along dark roads to the hospital. I tried to think of some profound life advice that I might have received from my father. He had once suggested that I spice up a stale relationship by having an affair, but that didn't seem like a suitably solemn lesson, although I had indeed followed the advice at the time. It didn't help. Nothing else came to mind. My brother and I arrived at the hospital and kissed our father's forehead. At 8 a.m, we realised the coffee shop had opened and we slipped out to buy oversized Americanos. My brother poured 17 sachets of sugar into his black coffee. I muttered to him, "If Dad dies while you're adding all these fucking sugars, I will never speak to you again." We walked back to the ward. Dad had died, with my stepmom at his side, while we were adding endless sugar to coffee. And that somehow seemed right, and we hugged and cried, and I left the room to tell a nurse that Dad was gone. One medieval Irish poet, speaking of grief, wrote, "My heart is a clot of blood." My heart was a clot of blood as I sat in the hospital coffee shop sending messages, receiving condolences, waiting for my eldest brother by the same father and mother and his daughter to arrive at the hospital, and for my father's body to be prepared in the mortuary. Sometime in the middle of the 8th century, the poet Blathfach, son of Cuvretan, wrote of the crucifixion that the whole world grew dark, the land shook under gloom at the death of noble Jesus, great rocks broke asunder. A stream of blood gushed forth too severe, so that the skin of every tree became red. There was gore on the surfaces of the world in the treetops of every great forest. It was fitting for God's elements, beautiful sea, beautiful sky, this earth, that they should change their aspect when keening their hero. I stepped outside for a while and saw that the January sky was very blue, but nothing changed. The world did not grow dark. There was no gore in the treetops. The elements did not shake. The world kept turning, but my heart was a clot of blood. A friend sent me a collection of poetry, A Scattering by Christopher Reed, and I devoured it. The crystalline poems told the story of his wife's illness and death, and his own grief. I saw myself and my father reflected in one particular poem, The Unfinished One, where Reed wrote of the rigmarole of unheard farewell. There was agony in something so simple, so gentle. Sparse breaths, then none, and it was done. I would leave the book beside my father's coffin at his wake. Although he had lived in England for 35 years, my father had requested a traditional Irish wake. This was to be followed the next morning by a private committal at the crematorium. Our English friends and neighbours were unfamiliar with the idea of a wake. Some were uncomfortable with the coffin in the house. Even more were confused by the sight of folk musicians setting up in the living room.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?